Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL Radio. Adam, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Guys, good to talk to you. It's been a while.
Yeah, and I listen to you a lot of mornings on Sunday mornings. I'll go for my exercise, and I'm out on the road, and I listen to your show. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it, that you're always on Sunday morning as a guest.
Yeah, so I'm on the Fantasy Channel Sunday doing a hit, and then I host, I'll be on NFL Radio, usually most weekends hosting, and then I pop up. I've had a show on the Fantasy Channel for 15 years. We do that from 7 to 10 a.m. I've done a lot since I left ESPN. I'm doing a lot more radio, which has always been in my background.
And that's great, and you're good at it. And I like that you're into fantasy, because I feel like some NFL guys, especially the older NFL guys, kind of are like, like the poo-poo fantasy. And now it's like such a part of the sport.
I mean, Adam Schefter and I, Schefter is probably one of the most competitive fantasy players that I've been in leagues with. No, he is. Mort's in it. Yeah, no, as a matter of fact, when I was at ESPN, we were in a 16-team league.
Nice.
Believe it or not, which is crazy.
16 is all. I've never done a 16. 14, 12. My partner and I are in a 10-team league here.
Too many teams. Yeah, it's hard to get. It's hard in free agency to pick up good players.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough, very competitive, but I one of the things I miss about ESPN, it's called the War Room League.
Yeah, nice.
I think Lewis Riddick's in it, of all people. Lewis is not a guy who played fantasy, but I think he's doing well this year.
We're talking with Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL Radio. Adam, obviously, everything has been a lot of talk about, the Browns potentially keeping Greg Williams. When they first became interim coach, nobody thought he would keep the job, and obviously he's done a nice job here at 4-2. The Browns are playing much better football. Do you overreact based on a few games and give him the job, even though he might have been not have been in the long-term plan? I guess John Dorsey's got to make that decision. It seems like a tough one. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be Dorsey's decision. I mean, he's going to take input, but in the end, the ownership's going to let him make the call. Greg has been a head coach before. It's not like he hasn't done it before. He's a terrific D coordinator. He's a very well-connected coach. I think even if, by chance, I still don't think he'll get it, but, you have to see how this plays out. And the players play hard for him. And he's in their building. They're able to evaluate him. He's going to get an interview. But the key here is the number one thing they have to do is develop the quarterback. And they're doing a good job. And Freddie Kitchens has done a great job. And if you've not seen his story, you can watch it on YouTube. I mean, he was a guy who almost died some years ago. And he's a great guy and a great story. For the first time, he's calling plays in his career. It's amazing the job that he's done. And the other thing, he's got great chemistry with Baker Mayfield. That's very important. And they see it every day. Now, if they moved on from Greg, Bruce Arians has made it clear. If he comes out of retirement, this is the only team he would coach for. Oh, by the way, Freddie Kitchens was his quarterback's coach with the Cardinals. So you can keep continuity there. Continuity is very important. You would rather not have Baker Mayfield to have three offensive coordinators in the course of 1 year. You'd like to avoid that if you could. You'd like to keep the same offense. So we'll see what happens here. But talking to people around the league, it's not a great list this season of head coaching candidates, but there's certainly some interesting ones for a team that, by the way, is so much fun to watch. Great. I've always said when I've been on radio here in Cleveland that you've got perhaps the NFL's greatest fan base, and they deserve a winner. I'm glad to see that John Dorsey's well on his way to getting that done.
Adam Kaplan is with us, SiriusXM NFL Radio. Adam, one of the fears I think some of us have with keeping Freddie with Baker is that if they just continue to have the success that they had this year, next year, at some point, does Freddie become a head coach, and then you lose your OC that you had all that great continuity with?
Yeah, I hear you, but you can't go in. I mean, here's the guy in Freddie Kitchens who no one was ever considering to be an OC. It's just because of what happened with Todd Haley being fired and Hugh Jackson being fired that he got the job. I wouldn't worry about that. I think you have to what they have to do is, and you have to see what happens here. I know it's a long shot for the wild card, but you just have to see what happens over the last two games. Does offense close the way it's been, which has been way on the upswing? You want to take a good step back and evaluate it as you interview coaches in January, and then make a decision. I think when you look at it here, continuity would not be the worst thing. It's a little bit. I know sometimes when coaches get fired, there's a little bit of an uptick in the record, and that's certainly what we've seen here. But you see the energy and how well Freddie's respected in their building. And just the way that Baker Mayfield has responded to his coaching. I don't know if you saw it. Look at the numbers that they posted. There was during the game, there was numbers posted from when Hugh Jackson was fired and then when Freddie Kitchens took over the offense. It's really striking.
We're talking with Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL Radio. Adam, We haven't had a Browns quarterback be a quarterback one in a fantasy draft, maybe ever. I don't even think Derek Anderson was the year after he had a good. But we it could have. And but from both a fantasy and a real NFL perspective, Baker Mayfield clearly looks like the real deal. How good do you think he's going to be going forward?
He's really good. He's been a lot better than I thought. The thing that NFL people tell me, especially I talk to scouting people when they a lot of pro scouts when they have to do advances on teams. The thing that they that the scouts like, the pro scouts that I've talked to or personnel directors who scouted the Browns, they love that he doesn't look to run.
Yeah.
You know, when you watch him play, you see that he'll move to the right, move to the left, but he always seems to end up in the middle of the field with his eyes downfield. The Denver game, this pass game, is a great example of it. Plenty of chances to run, but he decides that he's not going to run. That is truly where I think he's matured, where maybe in Oklahoma he would have run. I mean, this is where he's really been advanced here, and how he throws with anticipation. You know, for a guy who's only 6'1", and another thing is he's tough as nails. He's a great leader. This is you kind of see what John Dorsey and the staff was thinking when they drafted him number one overall, and he's well on his way to being a guy. And I can't believe I'm saying this, could be the Browns quarterback for many years. And by the way, you mentioned Derek Anderson. I'll never forget it. I'm at the Pro Bowl. I think it was the only year that he made it.
Yeah.
In Hawaii, and I'm thinking Derek Anderson's probably will never last, and it never did. But that's how long it's been. I mean, yeah. If they had a Pro Bowl quarterback since then, I doubt
no.
it.
2007. No. That was it.
That's
yeah,
it.
I was there. I was in Hawaii. In fact, it was Adrian Peterson. He was there. I saw Adrian Peterson as a rookie make the Pro Bowl. And I mean, as a matter of fact, I think that Braylon Edwards, it might have been Braylon Edwards or Winslow. Were there as Pro Bowlers. It's amazing how times have changed.
And I think D.A. may have been like an alternate to get into that Pro Bowl.
He was definitely there because I remember seeing
him. No, he was.
He
was there. Yeah, it's been a long time. We hope that Baker's going to continue to be our quarterback for a decade plus. I mean, that'd be sweet. But not only did they hit on Baker Mayfield, it seems like they hit on the running back. Nick Chubb has been phenomenal for the Browns this year as well, Adam.
Yeah, the only criticism I had of that was, and you know, Carlos Hyde was a guy. Now, this contract structure was really 1 year anyway, so he probably would not have been around next year, even if he did well, because you said they drafted Nick Chubb in the second round. I just never really understood why they did that, why they signed him, why they signed Hyde, and then drafted Chubb, and then extended Duke Johnson's contract. Too much tied up to running backs. So that was the one situation I never could understand. But, yeah, Chubb, and the thing that surprised me, I didn't know this about him. How many long runs has he had of plus 10 yards,
yeah,
which are explosive plays? Really surprised me. And, yeah, he's their bell cow back. Their line is getting better. Greg Robinson, again, I have to give Bob Wiley credit. You know, Greg Robinson was a high draft pick for the Rams who never worked out. He was drafted totally on spec, totally on athleticism. He had not developed at all. And then, you know what? We'll see. Look, stranger things have happened. He might be their long-term solution at left tackle. We'll see if Austin Corbett, who unfortunately has been hurt, he's a guy I know is really respected in NFL circles. They've got a little bit of they just have to get the five starters straight for next season. But I've been pleasantly encouraged, and obviously J.C. Treader's toughness with that high ankle sprain has been something to appreciate, because that's a tough injury to play on when you're starting center.
On the other side of the ball, Adam, the Browns appear to have one guy at each level. When you look at, you know, Myles Garrett, you look at Denzel Ward, and they've got a guy on each level, and certainly those two guys in particular, that can be Pro Bowlers a lot, you know, often here going forward, especially those two guys.
Yeah, no doubt. And the thing that is interesting, and I still would side with those people who would say they should have taken Bradley Chubb, but it's hard to argue with the way that Ward has played, and it's kind of what we thought. You really couldn't make a mistake with either one, but you typically take the pass rusher over the corner. But, yeah, and I just like the way that Greg Williams brings it. I mean, they're very, very physical. You know that. Unfortunately, they've been decimated by injury at corner. I think that's a problem. Peppers, with a big play in this last game, certainly is coming on now that he's healthier. And, look, the good thing is they've got an unbelievable amount of cap space, so if they want to continue to get in free agency, they can. They're good with draft capital. I mean, this thing, look, we all beat up Sashi Brown, and deservedly so. He made a lot of mistakes, but in terms of cap and draft capital, you should feel pretty good about what's coming here in 19 or 20. They're in pretty good shape right here.
Percentage chance Josh McDaniels is the head coach of the Browns next year?
It's hard to put a percentage, but you know, I've already put my list together just from talking to NFL people, and he's my number one guy, and he definitely wants to be a head coach. I know some people say, well, you know, he could be Belichick's successor, but the problem with that is you don't know when he's going to retire. I mean, this is the guy. I mean, he's not lost anything. They're still one of the best teams in the NFL. Josh, and I knew this would be the case, despite what happened last year from him verbally agreeing with to be the Colts head coach, then walking away from it, I don't think it's going to hurt him because with John DeFilippo's situation, unfortunately, because he would have been the top choice. It would have been either DeFilippo or McDaniels. Now it's McDaniels, clearly. I mean, after that, it's such a drop off. As far as being the Browns head coach, look, they've had it. They've had interest. It's not a secret in him in the past. It's just a matter of John Dorsey's got to get pretty good intel on what happened with the Colts and whether he could work with them. Because after what's happened with them, you need to have the right information and not fly off the handle with what happened last year.
We're talking with Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL Radio. Adam, what do you make of the struggles of the Saints and the Rams, both offensively, especially the Rams? Goff's thrown a ton of picks in recent weeks. A blip on the radar, or is there a big deal with either of these?
Yeah, I would not be concerned with the Saints. Something about the Saints and being outdoors, the numbers drop significantly when they're out of the Superdome. But Jared Goff over the last 3 to 4 weeks has regressed, and there's a scouting term. He's moving because he's in the face of pressure, and also what's happening is he's getting hit so much. The other term is he's seeing ghosts. He's moving for no reason sometimes, and the Eagles' defensive line absolutely beat up the Ram offensive line. That's a problem. By the way, the Rams' offensive line is not the most talented to begin with, and they've got to be very concerned here. I mean, the Eagles, who lost a overtime game at Dallas the week before, and you know, I know they're fighting for a wild card spot. They just dominated. I mean, it was just amazing to me to see them dominate. I thought they would get squashed, and they went in on a short week, really for them, and being tired, and that's a 6-hour flight. And from pillar to post, they dominated the Rams. I would be very concerned about the Rams right now. I still think the Saints are the best team in the National Football League, and I still believe that the Patriots will get there. I know it's been a struggle lately. Offensively, I don't know. The Patriot offense is kind of dropped off here. It's kind of shocking. But I have a big trust here in Tom Brady and Bill Belichick to get that straightened out.
You know, Andy Reid, since he has been in Kansas City, has only won one playoff game, and everyone kind of thinks that he'll fall apart or whatever. And you know, Pat Mahomes has been terrific this season. You know, obviously they lose to the Chargers this past game, but man, the Chiefs have still been so much fun to watch. You think that this could be the year for Andy Reid to get over that hump?
My problem is their defense is just not going to be good. Now, Bob Sutton does a decent job, their defense coordinator, but from a talent standpoint, you know, you're older with Eric Berry and Justin Houston. Berry missed almost the entire season. He's just back last week playing limited snaps. He's not the same player. They're just not good enough at corner. They don't have enough playmakers. This is where I think this upcoming offseason, other than a running back because of what happened with Kareem Hunt, it's got to be all about defense. I just don't think they're going to be good enough. I love watching their offense, and Tyreek Hill has been a special football player. And obviously Travis Kelce right now, there's no more dominant tight end than he is. But defensively, I just don't think they're going to be good enough to win a Super Bowl this season. But are they good enough to win a home game, especially when if they get one of the top two seeds? Absolutely.
Adam, we were talking earlier a little bit about, you know, should they reseed and just seed each team based on record and not whether you won your division. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, it's funny. I really hate it when we're going to see the NFC East, okay, for instance. The Cowboys almost certainly are going to win that division. Are they really that good? No, they're probably going to be one and done, though they play very good defense. And you saw them get shut out on the road at the Colts. Well, to me, how in the world, okay, how in the world should they host a home game in the playoffs? But you get if you win a division, no matter what your record is, and you don't, and if you're playing in the first round, you get a home game. Now, and I would agree, they should probably reseed. It's not going to happen. There's just not enough of a push. I highly doubt it'll ever happen. And the other thing is, and there had been some talk of it, should there be 8 teams in the playoffs in each conference instead of 6? That's something, because of the amount of money they can make off of it, would you consider doing that, adding one or two more playoff teams? Obviously, with the scheduling standpoint, it's a little bit tricky. That's something to always talk about, but the worst thing you could have is when you have a team that's simply not good enough getting the playoffs. But you know what? I was just talking to the Eagles today about this. You know, one person with the Eagles said, look, we just need to get in. And they don't care how they get in because, look, they were the Super Bowl champs, and yeah, they're beat up physically, but you never know what happens, especially with that team last year, no one was thinking they could go all the way.
Adam, you mentioned Kareem Hunt in the loss for Kansas City. Do you think Kareem will play next year in the NFL?
I do. As ugly as it looked, he's not like the Ray. People talk about Ray Rice. Well, Ray Rice was a declining player late in his 20s, and I think now when you look at him, Kareem Hunt is you were talking about one of the best three or four running backs in the league. He's just got to show that he can handle himself the right way off the field and show a little bit more contrition. Yeah, I do. To answer your question, I absolutely think he will someday.
That's amazing. In the NFL, you could do anything and get a second chance except the protest police brutality. That's the only thing you can't do.
Look, I'm not disagreeing with it.
Yeah. But you're right.
It is what it is. I've covered this business for 20 years. It is absolutely amazing to me what teams were overlooked. By the way, same in college football. I've always used this term. It's in the name of winning, and that'll never change.
Adam, great stuff, man. Thanks for the insight. We'll talk to you again soon.
Guys, thank you.